We are New York, talking about what matters to you on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. It's 906-906 at WABC. It is difficult to remember how important that man is. You know, I was listening to 20 minutes of Bruce Morrow before I came on. And, you know, I have to arrange for scripts and very special sound effects. And setting up my show is complicated. But I'm listening to Bruce Morrow and the power of that voice and his age, which is much younger than he claims credit for. But here's the fact that every single song that you and I love was played by him first. Every song by the Beatles, the Dave Clark Five, every British Invasion song, all the doo-wop songs, all the Brooklyn Bridge songs, every single song that you and I love, he played first. He was the first one to play it. Imagine playing all of those songs brand new, being able to say, "Cousins, this is brand new." Oh my gosh. And then those songs have been with us our entire life. They've been part of our hearts and our souls for our whole life. That is, in my opinion, easily the most important cultural figure in our city. He is the most important cultural figure in New York City because he shaped our hearts and our souls and what we listen to, what we love, what we don't love. It was all from him. And then he gave it to us in a special gift. He presented it for years in a way that our parents hated him. Our parents hated him. It was rebellion and our favorite songs at the same time. But now I have had the privilege of seeing Paul McCartney talk to him. I've seen the two of them in person together because they made each other. Bruce Morrow made the Beatles, and the Beatles made Bruce Morrow. And I've seen Paul McCartney talk to Bruce Morrow. And you know what I saw? The only time I ever saw it, I saw Paul McCartney deferential to somebody. He was deferential to Bruce Morrow. He listened to what Bruce Morrow said. Oh, my gosh. And then I saw somebody ask Bruce Morrow the dumbest question ever in history. And I'm glad I was there for that. They said to him, well, who's the Weasley guy? I said to him, well, who's the most famous person you know, Bruce? And I stopped him. And I looked at him and I said, he's the most famous person he knows. I don't know anyone else with a street in New York City named after him. 52nd Street, named after Bruce Morrow. One of the most powerful, iconic figures in history. And he sounds spectacular. And then tonight, recently, I realized something very important, very important. I'm in an industry that's obsessed with copying things. That's what it does. It's obsessed with copying things. And when anybody does something successful, it's copied. When someone else does something successful, they copy it. It's an amazing phenomena. And one of the things I realized early on was that when somebody does something really well, like in Denver, then everybody in the industry copies it. It's a weird thing, but it's true. Well, now, here's what I saw. Yeah, okay. Here's what I saw. John Catsimatidis realized something a couple weeks ago. He realized that total common sense. He said, you know, I don't think people like to hear talking on the weekends. And he realized that when he heard Palisades Park on his radio station, it felt good. It felt fantastic. And he said, you know, this is great. I'm going to talk to Bruce. Maybe he'd like to play another hour. Maybe he'd like to do another hour. Because the music made him feel good, and it didn't matter. He thought, you know, it doesn't matter who comes on after him or before him. It doesn't really matter because it's talk. And people don't want talk on the weekends. They want to feel good. They want to hear music. Well, when I heard he said that, I said, you know what? 30 years ago, I had the same thought. 30 years ago, my instinct was that talk stations shouldn't be talking on the weekends. But then I applied some science to it, and I studied it. And I said, I wonder if there's any talk station in America that does as well or better on the weekends than it does Monday to Friday. And I did the research. I looked. And you know what I found? I found there wasn't one talk station in America. Not one. Even the big ones. Even the ones that were sacred and nothing could go wrong at them. Not one of them did as well on the weekends as it did during the week. Now, unlike most radio executives, I had a different career. Before I was a world-class talk show host, I wore a suit, wingtip shoes, I gave companies advice, I ran radio stations, and I said, well, what most executives get to do is they get to walk into a radio station in any format, and it's already been there. It's already been in Top 40 or Talk for years. I never had that luxury. I was always hired to start a new one. That was my curse. My job was to start a new one. And that's what I would do. I would go into a radio station. I'd go into a city. They'd say, we'd like this to become a talk station. And I'd say, all right. And I'd cook up a talk station. And then I'd look at them and I'd say, and I want to play music on the weekends. Whoa, you know, I don't know about that. And I'd say, no, we really need to play music on the weekends. And went, oh, okay. And then I did it. Starting 30 years ago, I played music all weekend on talk stations in New Jersey, Orlando, New Orleans, Los Angeles. And you know what? It always worked. It always made the station bigger. The music on the weekends delivered the same audience levels as the talk during the week. Because you and I don't want to hear talking on the weekends. We want to hear music. We want entertainment. And John Catsimatidis instinctively knows that. And that's why Cousin Bruce Marr is going to go for another hour starting next week. And is the smartest thing he could do. But my instincts tell me that he should do it all weekend. Because that's what I've done. I'd be a hypocrite not to say that. And there's a secret in there. And I'll tell you what the secret is. The secret is that radio stations that do talk during the week and music all weekend discover a surprise when they do that. They discover that there's revenue they never knew was there. There's revenue they never knew was there by playing music on the weekends and talk all week. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 9:14. It's 9:14 at WABC. It is great to be with you on a Saturday night. One of the most annoying things that I've experienced is to have to listen to Meghan Markle and Prince Harry tell me how to behave at election season. Have you seen this crazy time? These guys are doing, they're going around, these monarchs, people in a monarchy, are telling us that we should go and vote. To me, this is the craziest, most bizarre thing possible. They're telling me that we should go and vote? What? You're in a monarchy. You're getting £7 million a year from a monarchy, and they're telling us that we should vote, that we would be foolish if we didn't go and vote. Yes, I know I'm supposed to vote. There's no greater feeling than going to an election booth and voting. It's a great feeling. You had this feeling when you were a kid, when you went with your parents to the school, to the gym in the school. You went into the big machines and you saw them vote. It was a great day. It was a great feeling. And now you have Meghan Markle and her wacky friends telling us that we should vote. Now, Meghan Markle's crazy, but her friends are crazier. See if you can follow along this stream. This is David Foster's wife explaining the exotic way in which she knows Meghan Markle.
We went to the same, she went to a school called Immaculate Heart, as did I. She went there for middle school and high school, and I went there just for middle school. My sister was in her class. So my sister was in middle school with her, and I was in middle school when she was in high school. So I did a couple shows with her, and she was just always put together and great. And I was never really close friends with her. But then when I was in London doing Waitress, we went to a big charity event. Me and David put ourselves in a position where we could have just at least say hello, and they were really gracious. And my husband has like a really, really beautiful relationship with Harry. They're so cute. They're like father and son.
Well, I'm delighted. But David Foster's like 80, so he's everybody's father. And I'm having trouble. It'll get fixed in a minute. But here's Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. They've come to America with £8 million a year in an allowance. They get it from their monarchy. And then they come here and they sit on their throne and they tell us that we should vote. Hi, excuse me. Aren't you in a monarchy? How was that elected in? How did somebody put the monarchy into power? When did that happen? It's crazy. Then I started to look at other celebrities, and I realized that many of them are endorsing candidates and have for years, and that usually that doesn't work. No, really, it usually doesn't work. It turns out that there's research and science behind this. The research and science is this, that as more and more celebrities endorse more and more people for office, our faith in politicians is diminishing. That celebrity endorsement causes diminishing returns for elected officials, that we trust them less if they're endorsed by a celebrity. I was in Philadelphia the night before the 2016 election. I was in Center City, Philadelphia, and Katy Perry was performing in Center City, Philadelphia, and she was there for Hillary. She was pulling it all out for Hillary. Everything was going to go for Hillary thanks to Katy Perry singing California Girls for Hillary. And when you go to an arena, a concert, any public event, where there's a big crowd, lots of people, what happens? You can feel an electricity in the air. If something's happening there, if it's a great dynamic, a ball game, a concert, whatever it is, if you can feel energy in the air, you know something's going on, static, exciting, psychic energy. And there I was in Center City, Philadelphia, a Democratic city, with Katy Perry, a universally loved performer, there for Hillary Clinton, and I'm standing at the epicenter of Center City, Philadelphia, within earshot of Katy Perry, and I could feel nothing. There was no energy, and I'm like, oh, okay, Hillary's not going to win. No way is she going to win. Well, coming up in just seconds, we'll hear from John Wayne, Mr. Clooney, and Mr. Pratt. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Saturday, and this is 77 WABC.
The 77 WABC mobile app. Download it now. You can depend on us. Enable the 77 WABC Alexa skill at home. Download the 77 WABC mobile app on your phone. Don't miss a minute. Talk Radio 77 WABC. We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
Let me just restate what I was talking about before, which may be of interest to you, especially if you're like a radio geek. 30 years ago, my instincts said it makes more sense to play music on the weekends on a talk station than to talk, because talking is associated with going to work and dreary information, and it's not fun. And John Katsimatidis, the owner of this station, his instinct told him the same thing a couple weeks ago. And he said, hey, Bruce, would you go on for 4 hours? And Bruce said, of course I'll go on for 4 hours. And he is right. John is right. Because instinctively, he said, people don't want to hear all this talking on the weekend. And he's right. And I realized that 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I realized that. And I applied a little science to it, and I did research. And I could not find one talk station in America that did as well on the weekends as it did during the week. In fact, they did half as well. I said, well, I'm always starting up stations. They always hired me to start up stations. I never had the luxury of walking into a station and say, let's manage our cost and increase our ROI. I never had that luxury. Anything in the prize closet, I wasn't that guy. I never got that gift. I always had to start them from scratch, and they had better work. I was that guy. And I realized that I was not going to sign up for a station and put on talk on the weekends. It made no sense. Why sign up for something that you had to lose at? I said, let's put music on the weekends. And depending on the city and the market opportunity, I put music on every single talk station I started. I did it in New Jersey, Orlando, New Orleans, Los Angeles, in Canada, in France. I did it every place I started a talk station. And the result was the audience share on the weekends was as high as the audience share during the week. But here's the bonus track. What I didn't realize was that there was revenue I hadn't even thought of that appeared when I did that, that would have never touched that radio station. In fact, every one of those stations made as much on the weekends as they did during the week without having to embarrass themselves with the wrong kind of programming. So John Katsimatidis is right. And all I say to you, John, is you should play music all weekend because it works. And there's revenue you can't even imagine. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 925, 925 at WABC, 925 at WABC. Now, there's this craziness. There's this amazing piece of information, which is that it may be that if celebrities, arrogant, disgusting celebrities, endorse a candidate, it lowers the credibility of the candidate. There's been a direct correlation between celebrity endorsement of candidates and the diminishing return of credibility of candidates. That the more celebrities that endorse candidates, the less we trust candidates. The first celebrity to really speak out about politics was this guy.
I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listened to your point of view.
All right, that's John Wayne, but he doesn't say, and here's who to vote for. But he was the first one to express any political view, but he did it at the height of his career. And he had money in the bank and he could say whatever he wanted. But he didn't say, and you should vote for this guy. He didn't go that far. He just said, gee, you know, I thought I was a liberal, but the liberals say I'm not. Now, Chris Pratt this week did the smartest thing ever. He told us who we should vote for.
Pratt wrote, with all that's going on in the world, it's more important than ever that you vote. Just ask any celebrity. They will tell you every day, several times a day, to vote. That's exactly why people got angry, because Chris Pratt appears to be one of the good ones.
He does appear to be one of the good ones because he's not saying who to vote for. He's just saying, go vote. Now, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, members of a monarchy. Am I the only one who's noticed that they're members of a monarchy? Monarchy. Shoved into office by stealing land and beheading people, and they have £8 million to play with. And where do they play with it? They play with it not in their homeland of England. They play with it in Santa Barbara, near David Foster and his wife, and venture capitalists. That's where they went to get privacy. No, really, that's their argument for living in Santa Barbara. They wanted privacy. And then what do? They come and they tell us that we should vote. But my favorite is in the last election, 2016. George Clooney deeply got himself in politics. He got himself so involved with politics, he said this.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to, that's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
Oh, God forbid. There's George Clooney telling us that Trump cannot win. He said, not on my watch. I wish I could have found that clip. But there he is next to He was sitting next to a big deal actress, and he was saying, "Not on my watch. That isn't going to happen. They're not going to come here." Blah blah blah. I'm like, what? And they said it with this arrogance. There he is in black tie, and he's at a dais, and it's not going to happen. You know, he's not.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to. That's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
We're not going to be scared of women. Well, George, we all can't be like you. You clearly are not afraid of women. Women seem to throw themselves at you. I have three daughters under the age of 18 and a beautiful wife. And I'm terrified of women every day when I wake up because they're going to come into my room with a list of demands. Oh, and two female cats. There's my Samantha, age 8. Hello, my Samantha, age 8. I have a lot of reason to be afraid of women. But George Clooney, no afraid, no fear. I've got a spectacular guest for you coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is 77 WABC.
About the things that matter to you, like student loan debt or the future of Social Security or something that really matters to you. A celebrity just says, vote for Biden. But they don't tell you why, and they're not your friends, and they don't really understand you. It's your friends and family that have the bigger impact because they know what your platforms are that's important. They know the reason why you vote for somebody is because X, Y, and Z is important to you. And those conversations happen with friends and family, not with celebrities.
Cooper Lawrence is a New York City radio star, and she's been on the radio for a long time. So it's very unusual because Cooper Lawrence has a PhD. What's your PhD in?
Psychology.
PhD in psychology, and she can hit the vocal. There are very few PhDs who can hit the vocal, and very few people who can hit the vocal who have PhDs. Therefore, you will always be employed.
I certainly hope so. But, you know, it's funny, I've known you for a while. You and I have worked together in the past. So you will appreciate this quick story if you don't mind. So I was working at another talk radio station, and the program director said, "You don't want to just read news the rest of your career, do you?" And I said, "No, I want to do something else. I want to do something bigger." He said, "Why don't go get a PhD and let's give you a doctor show." So I got my PhD to further my radio career, to be honest with you. I didn't have the PhD first. I had the radio career first. And then I thought, well, this doctor thing could be fun to do on the radio. So as you can imagine, when I was at Fordham University, they were not that happy that that was the reason why I was there to get my PhD. But they were lovely, and I had a great experience. And now I have a PhD, and I'm still in radio. So there you go.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's the first time I ever heard education playing a role in getting a job in radio. I have been in radio a while, and never once, I tell this to communication students, I have never once been asked, not only what did you take in college, I have never been asked, did you go to college? It never came up. And it's a squirrely industry that way. Now, there's something else in your book that came out that I loved, because there's nothing I hate more than the cheesy hypocrisy and lack of taste when a celebrity attaches themselves to a good cause. Now, there are a few that have attached themselves to good causes that are good, and we'll talk about those. But I love the story in your book about Oprah Winfrey's good cause and Brad Pitt's good cause. Would you please share those with us?
Sure. You know, after any big catastrophe, the first thing Americans tend to do is turn to celebrities and say, "Help us." And that's what happened after Katrina. They turned to Oprah, and she started something called Angel Lane. And she did kind of a, "You get a house, you get a house," the same way she does, "You get a car." Except for the fact that she's Oprah. She's not a developer. She doesn't know anything about building houses. She just is a celebrity and a star, and her heart's in the right place. And Brad Pitt had the same situation where the Ninth Ward meant a lot to him. He shot a lot of movies there, Benjamin Button for one, and he felt a real affinity towards that area after Katrina, so he started the Make It Right Foundation. So the two of them had the same goal in mind, rebuilding and building houses and helping people who are affected by Katrina. But again, Brad Pitt, actor, not a builder. So he came in, started the foundation, and then left. They went back to Hollywood, went back to shoot a movie, went back to his life. And they both left all this stuff in the hands of less capable people. Angel Lane, to this day, and this is in my book because it's documented and there's a great deal of articles have been written about this. Angel Lane is a mess. Most of the houses have fallen apart. The roofs have caved in. The boilers have broken. The people that live there can't afford $800 for a new boiler because, of course, Oprah wanted the best, you know. So, but she came in and did her thing and then left. So these people were left to their own devices. Same thing that happened. Make It Right Foundation is actually being sued for millions of dollars because a lot of those houses started rotting and had mold and people got sick. Make It Right Foundation doesn't even exist anymore. It actually ended up going bankrupt because of this. So Brad Pitt has said that he's going to pay these people back and he's going to help them. So far, he still hasn't, but he has promised to help them.
Well, he can't pay them because he has to pay Angelina.
I know.
Angelina's first in line in the bankruptcy court.
The divorce that's lasting forever. Yeah, it's true. They're two examples of how, you know, their heart's in the right place. They meant to do the right thing, but they're celebrities. They're not builders. And then you contrast it with, you brought up somebody who did it the right way.
Yes.
And that would be Jon Bon Jovi. You know, he's the model for what every celebrity should be and what they should look towards. He's amazing. So he built Bon Jovi Boulevard. And when he went in there, he had his fingers in everything. He oversaw everything and goes back there on a regular basis to make sure, how's this going? Do you need more of this? Do you need more of that? He found an area there that was sort of becoming a little bit, unsavory. So he built a park and he's helping, you know, with the building schools. And he keeps his finger on the pulse of this thing that bears his name. And he truly cares. And that's one of the big success stories. So these are people that lost everything in Katrina. And luckily, they got Jon Bon Jovi. They didn't get Brad Pitt. So they ended up with these great houses that are very well maintained to this day when you think about how long ago Katrina was. You know, and Jon Bon Jovi, what he's doing in Red Hook with his restaurant, he's there all the time. When he puts his name on something, he doesn't just put his name and walk away. He stays very involved to make sure that it lives up to the standard that he set as not just a celebrity, but a person who's trying to help. So yeah, he's the gold standard.
As anybody who's ever owned a bar or a restaurant knows, the owner has to be there all the time or they will have nothing. Well, this is fantastic. Cooper Lawrence, pronounce the name of your book because I cannot.
Celebritocracy.
I appreciate that. Now, we're going to post the link on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, the Twitter page. I don't have 9 million what do you have on your podcast? You have like 9 million people. Not there yet, Cooper, but it's a goal that I've got. I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you very much. Cooper Lawrence on Walter M. Sterling on WABC. All right, it's 9:47, and this is my favorite part of the show. This is a benchmark feature. Program directors love benchmark features. This is the drive-through brew. And as you know, the management of the drive-through brew is suffering with dealing with Upper West Siders.
I'm J.J. Wilson, son of legendary broadcaster Big Wilson. I'm J.J. Wilson, son of legendary broadcaster Big Wilson. And this is the drive-thru brew. Now, we listen in on Jake and the manager arguing about how to deal with the influx of New Yorkers to the countryside to escape the homeless hordes in Manhattan. Confusing? Yes, but we don't have loads of time here.
I hate New Yorkers with their fancy hatchbacks and half-baked ideas and weird beer needs. I mean, whoever heard of All Wise Mead? All Wise Mead.
All Wise Mead is a Brooklyn brew made by one of the Sprouse twins, Dylan Sprouse. Why wouldn't you want his mead? He is in a new movie wearing a long pink taffeta dress and long hair. He is ravishing, really. He is a brand new pronoun.
What? How would you even know about such a movie? Oh, here comes the customer, thank goodness.
Boys, boys, hi! I'm from the city, hello. Oh, it's so rustic here. I can smoke anywhere. Everyone is wearing MAGA wear, and there are like bird baths on every single lawn. This is fabulous. Fill my trunk with Peel's beer.
We are brewing and shipping out of Peel's beer that even my usually quiet brother is excited about.
Oh, and that pink taffeta dress guy's all-wise meadery. A case, please.
There, Jake. All manageable.
Next time, we'll hear how Jake and the manager select a new logo on life in the drive-through brew. Word cars.
It's 950, 950 at WABC.
We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
954, 954 WABC live on a Saturday night. I love being on the radio with you, and you and I can stay in touch at Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, Walter M. Sterling, S-T-E-R, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, and I have a Facebook page because by law, every single broadcaster must have a Facebook page because it is our job to promote Facebook. Now, I've never seen Facebook promote me, but it's my job to promote Facebook. Gosh darn it, same thing with Twitter, my job. Ray on WABC, welcome. What kind of car are you in, Ray?
Oh, I'm not in my car any longer. I'm already home.
All right, what kind of home are you in? Prefab?
No, not a prefab. No. Wooden frame.
How may I be of service to you today?
Just speaking about celebrities, right? As you might know, 50 Cent endorsed Trump once he saw Biden's tax plan. And I'm thinking there's got to be a lot of celebrities out there who are saying that they're going to vote for Biden. But once they get into the booth, they're probably going to vote for Trump because who the hell wants to be taxed at 62%? That's crazy, especially in California, New York.
And in England in the 60s, they were taxed at 90%. The reason the Beatles changed their citizenship, they were being taxed at 90%.
I did not know that, really.
Yes, these are criminal activities.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
All right, 956 at WABC. I appreciate the calls. 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC. And Bruce Clayton is my sound engineer. He is the sound whisperer. He can take any sound and compress it, push the mid-range, make it to a peak of plus one independent. Did you hear that, Mr. Chief Engineer? Plus one independent. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's loud. But I think the last piece of processing this station had was an Audio Max, Volume Max. I think that's what it was. That's when it pumped. When Bruce was on it the first time, it sounds so good now. It is such good processing. It's breathtaking. But I'm into the weeds. Now I want to talk to you. Here's the deal. I've gotten a lot of emails about this and a lot of questions about this. Bruce Mar is going to be on from 6 to 10 p.m. from now on, and that's fantastic. That is exactly what I would have done if I was John Katsimatidis. That doesn't make it right. It just happens to be right. Because a station like this, a spoken word station during the week, should play music all weekend. And that way it will hold the share of audience it has during the week all weekend. The reason I know this is I've done it. I don't dabble in theory. I have suffered at the hands of the radio ratings all my life. And before I was an accomplished talk show host, I was an accomplished executive. I used to program radio stations. And they'd say, we need ratings now. And unlike so many radio executives, I never had the luxury of walking into a station that was working. I had to go in and make them from scratch. They'd hand me a jazz station and say, you know, make this into a talk station. And let me tell you, you want to be the most hated man in a city? Take a jazz station and turn it into a talk station. You will be hated. And that's what I did over and over. But the result was I always played music on the weekend. And depending on the city, it was different music, whatever the opportunity was. I did it in New Jersey, New Orleans, Miami, Canada, Los Angeles. These don't seem to be obscure cities to me. And they had better work. Let me tell you, it had better work. In every one of those cities, I put on a different genre of music. But here's the trick. We would do it from like 8 on Friday night till 4 on Monday morning. But the trick was that it held the share of audience that the station had during the week as a talk station, and it had some other extraordinary benefits for the listener and the advertiser. But something happened that I didn't anticipate. There was a benefit I could have never guessed in a million years. A stream of revenue came in that I went, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was going to happen. We didn't know it was going to happen. And the reason those stations that I put on the air with music on the weekends, talk during the week, they're still on the air after 5 years, 10 years, 20, 25, 30 years, the presidents. The reason they're still on is because they mint money without one infomercial. They mint money. And it's because of the weekends. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Let's stay in touch. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Thank you to Chad Lopez. Thank you, Dave Labrosi. Don't call me David. And thank you, Bruce.